Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, it's only a matter of days now until people head to the polls for the presidential election, and tonight we'll see the final debate of the campaign on prime time. But will you be going to cast your vote or will you be going to spoil it? In a moment, we'll get the latest on the campaign from Sean Defoe. But first, Fergus Findlay, political columnist with the Irish Examiner. Fergus, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, you've written a piece in The Examiner. Is the Spoil Your Vote campaign loony or something more sinister? So let's address the two. What's loony about spoiling your vote?
Well, I was trying to make the point in the piece, Pat, that if you turned up at the polling station and your entrance was blocked by some fella in a suit who said to you, sorry, you're not needed here, we'll make the decision for you, you go home, have a cup of tea, take the day off, you'd be outraged. You'd be outraged if somebody tried to take your vote away from you. So why in the name of heavens would you agree to give your vote away? Just because that's what you're doing. You spoil your vote, you're making your vote useless. You're giving up your right to elect the President of Ireland. And it's a bit of authority and a bit of power that you have. And I cannot understand why in a democracy anyone would want to give that up. And you'd be, as I say, you'd be furious if somebody tried to stop you from voting. So why in the name of heavens would you agree, would you decide yourself not to vote? I know the candidates on the ballot aren't to everybody's taste, but we have a duty and a right and an obligation to vote. And if we start abandoning that duty and right, we'll live to regret it.
Now, we have a duty, I suppose, which is a civic duty to vote, but there's no obligation to vote. There is in some jurisdictions, but not in ours.
No, there isn't. And if you want to give up your vote, you're free to do it. It's your legal right to do it. I think you'll live to regret it if you do.
Now, the other option is that it could be something more sinister. In what way?
Well, there is this organisation now. It has a glamorous website. It has a slogan. It has a message. If you look at the website, it's called Make Your Vote Roar. And the way you make your vote roar is by giving up your vote. That makes no sense at all. And I cannot understand how anyone would feel it's ethically or morally appropriate to be campaigning for people to abandon their right to vote. It just makes no sense to me at all. I think it's dangerous. And I think, as I say, it's ethically improper. Of course, there's nothing stopping anyone from doing it, but I just think it's completely and absolutely wrong. And I think it's potentially really dangerous. It's about a so-called unpopular election. Next time, who knows?
The question of spoiling your vote, and there's a campaign, hashtag spoil your vote, that sort of thing, isn't that also a way of expressing a political opinion? Whether you write a candidate in or you put Mickey Mouse on the paper, you're saying something about the current election.
Our system doesn't allow that, Pat, and everybody knows that. In America, for example, you can write in a preference. You can write on the ballot paper, I don't like these people, I prefer that person. You can't do that here. There is a kind of a tradition in Ireland. In fact, there was used to be a funny story years ago about a fellow who gave everybody on the ballot paper a number one and wrote across the top, as promised on the doorstep. that's kind of a joke, that's all that is. There is no provision in Ireland that enables you to express a preference by spoiling your vote. All you're doing by spoiling your vote is abandoning your vote. You're giving up your rights, your authority, your power as a citizen and as a voter.
Is it not possible by spoiling your vote to say to the body politic a plague on both your houses in terms of the two candidates?
No, because what will happen is that
neither of them gets a vote. So,
well, neither of them gets a vote, but the person who gets the most votes still wins. The votes will be counted at the end of the day, and in 20 years' time, nobody will remember that this was an election dominated.
So you say really you should vote for, if that's the way you feel, vote for your least worst candidate.
There are two, the system allows you to do two things. It allows you to vote number 1, 2, 3 in order of your preference, but it also allows you to vote number 3, 2, 1 in order of your preference. So you can work out a process of elimination if you want to. And
I'm glad you made the 3 point, because there are 3 candidates on the ballot paper.
There are 3 on the ballot paper, and you are entitled to vote for all 3. And there's nothing improper about voting for all 3. They're on the ballot paper. They're there to be voted for. And as a matter of fact, that's what I think a lot of people are going to do in this election. They're going to do it by elimination rather than by preference, because it's the nature of the election that has developed.
You also address the complaints from the Maria Steen camp, and I'm not saying necessarily from her herself most vocally, but from those around her, that she was blocked. And you say, no, she wasn't blocked. She didn't start early enough.
Look,
hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel. Points TC.
I'm very close. She got a lot of nominations, and there's little doubt in my mind that if she started earlier and worked harder, and tried to present a broader based appeal, she could well have got the additional couple of votes. So it, like, you can't. I mean, if I wanted to be on the ballot paper, I've never made a secret of that. It's a well known fact. I failed completely to interest my own party and to get on the ballot paper. If I walked around now saying, abandon the election, spoil your vote, I think you'd look at me and say, don't be such a big baby. Get on with the rest of your life. And that's what people need to do. I mean, everybody, like, the rules of engagement for this election have been known since 1938. They've been in place for the guts of 100 years. So everybody has known for months and months and months what you need to do to get on the ballot paper.
But in fairness, there was one person who threw the hat in the ring very early in a formal way, and that was Gareth Sheridan. And it didn't do him a lot of good to start so early.
It didn't, because he didn't have the kind of profile. He wasn't able to get himself well enough known. He did okay, you know, and he has a higher profile now than he did then. If he'd started with a higher profile and hadn't, you know, made a bit of a mess of his early press conferences and so on, he could well have done it. Who knows? But you know, in the last election, we had a load of candidates put forward by local authorities. In the previous election, even when there were political parties in the race, we had a load of candidates put forward by local authorities. So this business about I was blocked by the system, it's all rigged against me, it's just nonsense, Pat.
Should there be a wider methodology, though, in allowing candidates to go forward? I mean, I accept that the bar should be relatively high, that you couldn't have every dog and devil putting their name on the ballot paper because it would just be too cumbersome. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a Conor McGregor on the ballot paper if he can get over the bar, whatever that bar is. But is the bar just far too
high? Bar,
yeah. But is the bar too high? That's really my question.
It has to be a high bar, and it has to be a democratic bar. I've heard people suggesting, for example, that there should be qualifications, technical qualifications or legal qualifications. There's no other democratic job where the people get to pick the person. Where, you know, you have to be a lawyer, you have to be an economist. God forbid you'd have to be an economist to become president of Ireland. I mean, the bar is public support. So if you want a third level, maybe 75,000 signatures or something of that kind. But they have to be provable signatures. Do you know, that wouldn't be an easy thing to do either.
No, but we do have a PRS number, which could be used.
If people want to give up their PBS number and use it to nominate somebody, you could do that. But that's the only thing I can think of, the only additional thing I can think of, or alternative thing. Maybe abandon the Oireachtas system or abandon the local authority system and put its signatures in place. But it would have to be, it has to be high. It has to be significant.
Fergus Finlay, political commentator, writer in the Irish Examiner. Very interesting column today. Fergus, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks very much.
Sean Defoe has been listening into that. Sean, our political correspondent. Morning, Sean.
Morning, Pat.
Interesting comments from Fergus Finlay about don't spoil your vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose a couple of things to pick up on. I think, you know, the likes of Gareth Sheridan, for example, I always got the impression of the second he didn't really understand the nomination process. And I know Malcolm Byrne said at the weekend that he had never contacted a lot of Fianna Fáil councillors who he would have needed the vote from. So that was someone who maybe would have had a shot, but didn't really know the system well enough to get on the ballot paper. I think, look, I'd agree with a lot of what he said about spoiling a vote. I don't really see the point. And I actually asked the Electoral Commission about this on the Let Me Explain podcast this week. And the chair, Marie Baker, had interesting comments. And basically the way she put it was, look, you're not going to elect anybody. You're not going to stop anyone from getting elected. And if your whole goal is to make a political point that there's not enough choice on here, we're not actually going to know that after the event. You might see the odd ballot paper in count centres on Saturday that says Maria Steen or says whatever, but it's not until months afterwards that the Department of Housing actually does an analysis of all those and comes back with figures to say, well, okay, we had X amount of spoiled votes. Why were just people who got it wrong, and people often put in the wrong numbers or put X's or whatever and accidentally spoiled their vote, and some more were Maria Steen or whatever. So in terms of like this idea of whatever that phrase he said is on the website, that you'll rock the system with this kind of a vote, I don't think you will. Mm. And I think a lot of people this week are probably, I can understand the impulse. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think the choice on the ballot for a lot of people is fantastic or represents all the views across the Irish political spectrum. For a lot of people, it does. For a lot of people, they're looking at the least worst option this week. And maybe that's where tonight and the debate tonight will land a lot
now,
of
now, the primetime debate tonight, two moderators in Sarah McInerney and Miriam McCallan, two candidates. It's quite extraordinary, really. Two versus two. What do you think the agenda will be? Because every single issue seems to have been well parsed at this point.
It does, and even listening to some of the interviews that both Heather Humphreys and Catherine Connolly were doing yesterday, it felt like the interview could have happened a week ago, and there's not really much different. Obviously, the big obvious one is Catherine Connolly's legal work. That's what Fine Gael has wanted to make the last few days, and indeed the days into the campaign, about and really going hard on both sides. And you're even seeing some Fine Gael TDs quoted anonymously in the newspapers this morning saying they think maybe Fine Gael is going a bit too hard in this. You had Jim O'Callaghan yesterday basically defending Catherine Connolly, saying you kind of take the work you get, obviously, from his own experience.
Again, many of the newspapers have been analysing why barristers can, how barristers can say no. Too busy to do the research is one suggestion. Just not available, conflict of interest. There are many ways in which people can actually get out of that. So that's by the way. But the question of Catherine Connolly not being, saying, I can't talk about this. In the Mail today, they have printed excerpts from Doyle contributions where she referenced her work as a barrister in particular instances. But the question is, can you not address the issue square on and anonymize it? You don't have to say, I represented the bank against Mr. Defoe or Mr. Kenny. You just say, I represented the bank in a situation where someone did ultimately lose their home.
Well, this is it. Like, she is precluded from mentioning individual clients, and that's quite clear. But the generality of her work should be available for discussion. And obviously, you need to do that in a sensitive way and to not make anything and anyone identifiable. But I mean, it is, you know, and you just wonder some of the fairly common questions, like, what he was asked last night by Matt Cooper, was anyone put out of a home as a result of any case you were involved in? She said, I can't answer that.
She could.
Well, this is it. You know, this is something that in general you can talk about without mentioning any individual particular cases. The volume of work, was this once or twice that she represented banks, or was it quite often? And look, there is a legitimate reason to represent them quite often. That's been written around in some of the papers as well this morning. That time in the civil courts, an awful lot of cases involved property and involved debt because of where the country was at the time. So if she comes under persistent pressure over that point, I think that's where Fine Gael see their win in damaging her, at least. Look, is it going to be enough to damage Catherine Connolly to the point where she's going to lose this election? I don't think so. But I do also think there are legitimate questions there, and it's not just the bones of a smear campaign. Mm.
Okay, we'll look forward to that debate. Not that we expect too much new from it, but still, it is the last set piece of the campaign, and we'll see how that all goes. In the meantime, it's business as usual for the Cabinet, I presume, if they're not out on the campaign trail with Heather Humphreys. So what's on their agenda?
Yeah, look, there's a bit on the agenda today. There is a memo coming from the Department of Housing in relation to vacant homes and plans that they are going to take forward. I think there's also a memo from the Department of Public Expenditure. This is kind of an interesting one. So it's updated guidance on state spending, which we've all been watching over the last few years, and a new review of the financial procedures that are set out in departments. Basically, Jack Chambers is going to tell his ministers that state expenditure has increased by more than 50% over the last 5 years. Some of those because of his own decisions as public expenditure minister, but that a lot of those are being made outside of the annual estimates process, i.e. outside of the budget. And we're thinking squarely Department of Health there, where they've needed sort of an in-year bailout a number of times. So it's going to be new guidelines and reviews around budgetary discipline effectively within departments, and accountability for any decisions that are taken outside of the budget process that ultimately costs the state more. There's also a memo from Simon Harris, and he's talking about the possibility of Ireland hosting the first European Housing Summit. And this would be under the umbrella of our presidency of the European Council that's coming in the latter half of next year. It's something Ursula von der Leyen committed to in a speech, I think towards the end of last year, where she said that there would be a housing summit to talk about all the difficulties that different countries are having, not just Ireland, in terms of the housing market, but also common solutions that could come to there. And it may well fall now to Ireland to host that, somewhat ironically, I suppose.
Sean Foe, our political correspondent, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.